Hi, everybody. We had to re-record the first part of this sermon in case you notice a cut about a third of the way through. My friends, I don't need to remind you that times are tough right now. We all feel it. I don't need to remind you about the escalating COVID numbers and the challenges of this socially and physically distanced life that can feel lonely and scary and demoralizing. I don't need to remind you of the growing economic and food insecurity for millions in this country right now. People need healthcare, they need a living wage, they need jobs, they need childcare, and better mental health services. I don't need to remind you that rather than a calm, thoughtful, united response during this pandemic, we're a deeply divided nation, pumped up by hate and lies and a surreal dystopian authoritarianism that makes every day feel uncertain and more than a little crazy. I don't need to remind you that the National Guard is roaming the streets of our cities, attacking and disappearing peaceful protesters, or that systemic injustice continues to impact communities of color and other marginalized populations. I don't need to remind you that our planet is warming far too quickly and that our beautiful blue boat, which we call home, is under attack by corporate greed and domination. I don't need to remind you of all of that, because you already know. It's all around us. It's there every time we turn on the news or open a newspaper or look at the internet. It's everywhere. It's in our collective energy, and it's tragic. It's dispiriting, it's frightening, and it's stressful for everyone. So maybe I do need to remind you of something, though. Perhaps I do need to remind you to hope. But how do we find the courage and optimism to hope during these difficult, disorienting, and despairing times? Personally, I look to Black and Indigenous people and other oppressed populations who've survived hard times for centuries now. They teach me. I find hope when I consider the heartbreaking circumstances they've had to endure for so long, and yet have continued to live lives of courage, love, resilience, and joy. Living under the weight of domination, prejudice, and oppression for centuries could be enough to crush anyone's spirit, to give up on hope for change. And certainly there must have been many times when these folks just threw up their hands in despair, too tired to fight it every day, every hour of every day. Yet somehow, these irrepressible spirits show us the way out of despair through resilience, through their hope for a better world, and their continued courage and vision. You see, it's that vision of a better time, that vision of a better world that drew them out and called them forward. Holding steadfastly onto that vision, together with the work and determination it takes to get there, has moved the needle. It is bending the arc towards justice, equality, and freedom for all. Slowly, but surely, just like we saw in our offering video earlier. Change is gonna come. And that gives me hope.
Have you ever used a compass to tell you where you are? Perhaps you've been out camping or on a hike in our beautiful wilderness somewhere. And now we even have compasses on our phones, which is what I'm just pulling up right now, which is really useful when you're trying to get an idea of where north and south are, especially if you're searching for the comet that's in our night sky right now. See, here is my compass. As I sit here, I'm apparently facing southwest, although I might have flipped it around when I changed it to the camera. But of course, we can also use a compass to guide us to change course, to identify and intentionally head in a different direction. I noticed during my recent time off work that I'd wake up feeling differently every day. Now, my external circumstances were largely the same. Another day at home during COVID. But some days I was full of joy, love, and enthusiasm for life, and anything seemed possible. And on other days, I woke up feeling anxious, sad, or disquieted. And just like the weather changes for no apparent reason, some days are cloudy and stormy, and other days the wind is calm and the sun is shining and the sky is blue. So I became aware that I need to be more intentional about the direction I'm heading in each day. That if I just left it to my moods, my thoughts, or my beliefs, or external circumstances, that I'd be blown around in the wind and never set course in the direction that I'd like my life to go. Just like a boat without a rudder is victim to stormy seas and changes in the weather, so is a human life. Without an intentional direction, we're prone to distraction and derailment. And so that's why I meditate and exercise every day to try and create clarity about how I want my day to unfold. Because right now, my friends, our external circumstances are stormy and they're hard. And we're being tossed around by chaos and fear and swallowed up by endless eddies, sucking us backwards to a time of greater polarization, prejudice, and conflict. And it's difficult to maintain hope or find courage and joy in such demoralizing circumstances, isn't it? And yet, Czech dissident and later president Václav Havel, someone who knows corrupt, oppressive regimes and difficult circumstances, wrote in his book, The Power of the Powerless, in 1986, that hope is not a prognostication. It's an orientation of the spirit, an orientation of the heart. Hope, in this deep and powerful sense, is not the same as joy when things are going well, or the willingness to invest in enterprises that are obviously headed for success, but rather an ability to work for something to succeed. So how do we orient our spirit towards hope in this time? How do we consciously change our trajectory when the weight of our current direction can drown us in hopelessness? Well, I believe we need to give less attention to our current circumstances and intentionally choose a hopeful vision, one we want in our lives. And this isn't simple. It's much easier to be overwhelmed by where we are and despair. It actually takes tremendous discipline and determination to envision a hopeful future despite everything, to imagine it in our minds and orient towards that point on our compass, to create and allow ourselves to be drawn towards an alluring, beautiful vision. One thing that helps me envision this is hearing stories of people who've held on to a hopeful vision, who are courageous and bold despite difficult circumstances. Nonviolent peace activist and astrophysicist Pancho Ramos-Steel is one of those people. He was arrested during the Occupy movement back in 2011. A PhD student in Berkeley and an undocumented immigrant, Pancho was detained while meditating peacefully during Occupy Oakland. Imprisoned and threatened with deportation, Pancho's circumstances looked dire. But Pancho was known to change the hearts of his prison guards by seeing them in a hopeful, positive light. He would tell his prison guards, "Your soul is too beautiful for this kind of work." And miraculously, by facing his oppressors with love, not by fighting and cursing them, but by seeing the highest possibility for them, he literally changed many of their hearts. There are stories of prison guards' lives being transformed by him, seeing their wholeness and standing for their highest, most loving selves. Like Martin Luther King Jr. and Nelson Mandela, Pancho insists that we not fight hate with hate or violence with violence. A proponent of Gandhi's work as well as the wisdom of the indigenous people, Pancho urges us not to adopt the methods of the oppressors, but rather respond with kindness, with generosity, and an open, loving heart, a vision of a better world. So he sets his compass daily towards radical love and hope, loving in the face of derision and hatred, and thereby he changes his circumstances. Someone else who's always inspired me is the Holocaust survivor and author of Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl. And he wrote, "When we are no longer able to change a situation, we are challenged to change ourselves. Everything can be taken from a man, but one thing. The one thing you can't take away from me is the way I choose to respond to what you do to me. The last of one's freedoms is to choose one's attitude in any given circumstance." So Frankl set his mind on the power of choice and set his compass in the direction of hope. And choosing hope gave him mental sustenance to survive the horrors of a Nazi concentration camp. So my friends, let's take a moment together to envision the kind of world we'd like to turn our compass towards, to visualize positive, hopeful circumstances which we feel inspired to move towards. And I invite you to close your eyes for a moment. Again, get comfortable in your seats and take a few moments to breathe deeply with me. Like our song, which invites us to breathe in peace and breathe out love, I invite you to do that at least three times. Breathe in peace and breathe out love. Breathe in peace and breathe out love. And once more, breathe in peace and breathe out love. And now imagine that all around you, the earth is renewing itself. Oceans and rivers are clean. Forests are expanding. Our air is fresh to breathe. And animal species are evolving and repopulating our earth. Meanwhile, humans have found a way to live peacefully in harmony with one another, respecting and helping each other. We live interdependently, caring for one another, and our health is great, and we have plenty of energy. People are nourished by the land and return to the earth all the nutrients needed to maintain a sustaining circle of life. We have enlightened government, and this is a world of interbeing and connectedness where everyone has enough to eat, a comfortable, safe place to lay their head at night, and meaningful, rewarding work. Laughter, joy, and celebration abound. Mutuality, respect, and kindness flourish. And people are free to practice their religions and belief systems, honoring one another's differences. We are led by curiosity and love, living authentically and freely according to our true gender expressions and identities. And everyone is bubbling with creativity. Everyone is open-minded with loving hearts and helping hands, accepting and welcoming to all. Our energies are spent sustaining peace and making sure everyone flourishes. Now keep your eyes closed, and let's take another deep breath and really sense that kind of reality in our bodies. How do you feel imagining a world like that? Just notice what's going on in your body, heart, and mind as you imagine that kind of a world. So now, before you open your eyes, I invite you to reflect on which aspect of this hopeful vision inspired you most that you would like to turn your compass towards. Can you make a habit of envisioning this kind of reality and allow yourself to be drawn there? Now, it may sound like utopia and your critical mind may wish to deconstruct such possibilities, but wouldn't you rather turn your life in that direction than what we have right now? Wouldn't you rather fuel your hope with images of joy, love, interdependence, and peace? So now, as you're ready, I invite you to open your eyes slowly and gently. My friends, what do you want to choose to focus on during these difficult times, to help you make it through, to inspire you and propel you forward? If you have some thoughts right now, I invite you to share it in our chat. What direction would you like to set your compass on? Where might you choose to focus your spirit, your heart, and your energies during this challenging time? What is your desired hope? So if you'd be willing to share just a few ideas in our chat, I'll read out what you write. Is the chat open? Barbara Jimerson writes that she'd like to focus on everyone's well-being. Yes. That's a beautiful thing to hold in mind. Barbara Green writes to be kinder. Tom Wolfe writes, random acts of kindness. Yes. Norma writes, sending love to my dearest friends, children, and grandchildren, and spending Zoom time with them. Aileen writes, love and acceptance. Barbara and Gordon write, a community of we. Oh my gosh, you guys are so inspiring. Keep them coming. Community of we. Here we go. Smiles and hugs from Katie. Thelma, looking for three positive things each day. Yes. Marjorie writes to help farm workers' families by contracting Annie Barker for a hookup, by contacting, I think, to make masks. Yes. And Delilah writes to focus on America's promise of liberty and justice for all. Yes. Sylvia writes for new ways of doing things. And Michael Axhaven writes, remembering your message during the week. Yes, and Norma writes, keep the words and actions of John Lewis in your mind and heart. Absolutely. And Tom and Denise write on more empathy and acceptance in our current situation. And Matthew and Pamela write, a country of free and fair elections. Indeed, we have to hold that vision as we move forward now. And Don Parker writes, to eliminate animal agriculture. Oh my gosh, so many hopeful visions. So many hopeful visions, and I invite you to keep sharing them. Go to our Facebook page, share what you want to envision there. Share anything that you found inspiring so that we can spread this message of hope and inspiration. I'm so grateful to all of you for holding that with me, with one another, in this community of we. And finally, Susan Norton writes that the earth takes a breath during COVID, and that the earth takes a breath during COVID and begins to heal. Yes. Thank you. Thank you all for sharing. So in closing, I want to share a quote by historian and social commentator Howard Zinn, who wrote, "To be hopeful in bad times is not just foolishly romantic. The future is an infinite succession of presents. And to live now as we think human beings should live, in defiance of all that is bad around us, is itself a marvelous victory." So, my friends, let's create that marvelous victory together as you go out, as you share with your friends, as you join in Zoom calls with your friends and family. Are you game? If so, just nod in your Zoom box. May it be so. Thank you all.